Sydney Kings last night, great win over the New Zealand Breakers, top of the table clash in the NBL, 88-81 it was. And in the other game, Illawarra battled big time. They were smashed by Southeast Melbourne Phoenix, 111-72. So the Hawks now 2-11 on the season. Just on the cricket, G Cowboy from Hell, he hasn't missed D Warner here. Call me what you want, but I actually cheered when Warner got out. I have conducted my own poll yesterday. Not one person rates him. To use an analogy, we the Australian Test cricket loving public are the Royal Family, and Davey, whatever alias he wants to be, is the Meghan Markle of it. Was before Cape Town, always will be. We cannot take him overseas to India and England, thanks, but no thanks. Want to keep it quiet for you and your family? Will retire now. You reap what you sow, Mr. Warner, says Cowboy from Hell. One for you here, Pup. Who opens the bowling with Stark Pup, Boland or Nisa? Of course, Josh Hazlewood out, has a low-level side strain, and his availability for the first test against South Africa next Saturday is uncertain at this stage. So we saw Nisa come in yesterday, as was forecast on the show yesterday by Mitch from Robertson, who said he saw the Nisa family at the airport travelling to Adelaide. Good on you, Mitch, for that mail, which was spot on in the end. But who would you open with, Pup? Pink ball, Adelaide. I got the feeling maybe Nisa's probably the best option, isn't he, to take the new cherry?
Don't know. Boland can swing it away from the right-hander. He hits the seam. That's what Boland does very well. So they both open the bowling for their state. I think they might give it to Boland just because he was the first. Well, he was in for Pat Cummins first. He was the next picked, and then Nisa picked after him. So there might be a little bit of, if they're unsure, they'll pay their respect to whoever was selected first. But in regards to who's best, I don't think it matters. I think they can both open the bowling. They can both bowl first change. excuse me. Josh Hazlewood and Pat Cummins are two very experienced test cricketers, two very good bowlers. But against this West Indies outfit, they're not going to be missed. I think Boland and Nisa will both do exceptionally well when they get the ball in their hand.
Hey, fellas, what was Pengilly's tip? Cheers, Hunter. It was race 10, number 14, Banju. $15 the win, $4.40 the place. So he had a value play for that meeting there tomorrow at Randwick. So Mossy coming up shortly. Just these markets. So the World Cup quarterfinals, Brazil $1.36, Croatia $8.50, the draw $5. That's 2 a.m. tomorrow morning. Then 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, Argentina at $2.20 against the Netherlands $3.50, the draw paying $3.20. These are obviously all 90-minute markets. Then you've got Sunday morning, 2 a.m., Portugal $1.62, Morocco $6, the draw $3.70. And then I think this is the highlight, isn't it? England and France, 6 a.m. Sunday morning. France, $2.50, slight favourite with tab. England, $2.90, and the draw is paying $3.30. Morning, Mossy. How are you, mate?
I'm great, Meadow. Nice to be in the same time zone, although it's not working in my favour, of course, because I've got to stay up through the night to watch these games now.
Yeah, that doesn't help you, but at least 6 a.m. Sunday. This is the highlight, isn't it? England up against France. I think Raheem Sterling, after he went through that terrible, well, his family went through a terrible ordeal in having the house broken into by armed burglars while they were home, looks like he might be heading back to the England squad.
Yeah, that's they're the headlines overnight, aren't they? That he'll be back, and, you know, terrible thing to have to go to at any stage, let alone through a major tournament while you're in a different country to the rest of your family. So, yeah, look, for England's sake, given that his family are okay, I hope that he's in a good place, because I actually think, you know, although we saw France put us to the sword in that first group game, I actually think England are a decent chance here. The bookies agree, obviously, but I think they're a chance of an upset here.
Wow. What about the, I think with Portugal, they're hot favourites, and we're just going to be watching the sideshow of Ronaldo, aren't we, and whether he starts or not. And, was it Goncalo Ramos? He certainly acquitted himself pretty well in the round of 16 match.
Not bad, huh? Replace the player like Ronaldo in the lineup and score a hat-trick in a World Cup knockout game. So that's certainly a good way to announce yourself. But, the sideshow that is Ronaldo's petulance just continues. And, you know, at what stage do you put your hand up and go, well done, coach. You've actually, you made a good call that's helped our country progress in this tournament to the quarterfinals. You know, and it's just far be it for me to say. I mean, there's plenty of famous footballers, ex-footballers around the world, as pundits now, who are saying that he's really starting to chew into his legacy. And the longer this goes and the more petulance he shows, the more it will erode what he's done for the game and you know, the performances over many years, the Ballon d'Ors, and the performances for his country, you know, start to be easily forgotten when you carry on like a pork chop, and that's what we're doing at the moment.
Mossy, forget, you know, the antics, the walking off the field, not celebrating with the fans and the rest of the team. We saw that for United, now we've seen it for Portugal. Just on a playing front, is he still playing well enough to be in this Portugal team?
Clarkie, I'm going to take you way back to last season at Manchester United, and I called for the coach at the time to sack him, to put him on the bench, and people thought I was an idiot for saying it. It's because they become a one-man team at the moment. He does not defend. He doesn't press. He's not very... And now I've seen him live at the World Cup. I went and watched Portugal-Uruguay live. I was five rows back, so I had a perfect seat to watch him, regardless of where the ball was. And you are playing a man that, yes, he's quality in front of goal, and that was a game where, you know, whether he touched it or not from the head to claim the goal or not, I was not surprised at all. The deeper Portugal go in that tournament, the more conjecture there was around whether he adds to the team as a starting player or should come off the bench. So Portugal looked to me a much better side without him. It's as simple as that. And wow, to have a player like him to be able to come off the bench if you're chasing the game, or to help manage it towards the end, fantastic. But as a starting 11 player, I think his days are done at this level. He may go to an Al Nassr for 313 million Aussie for 3 years.
Is that all?
In Saudi Arabia.
Like, yeah, he's definitely not the player he was. Just the 300 what? Million?
313 mil.
Oh, Jeez, my seriously. God.
It's a fair contract, yeah, isn't it? But that's probably the level that he's at now. He can go and play be a superstar in that competition.
Yeah, that's right, Loz. And look, again, far be it for me to say, but wouldn't it be good for him to go to a country where he can really help progress the game? I mean, he doesn't need the money, but it looks like his ego is going to get in the way of that, and he'll take the biggest offer. But, I still think he's at a level to contribute to Portugal at a World Cup, but I just don't think it's as a starting player.
Yeah. What about Brazil, mate? They looked terrific the other night, taking on Croatia, who got through... can Croatia cause an upset in this game?
I don't think so, Loz. I just think Brazil are too strong. You know, when they turn it on, I still think they've got some more gears to go in this tournament, and this is where their steely focus starts to really come in, even though they disguise it with their dancing and flamboyance that we've come to expect from Brazilians over many years. I just think they're just still the rock solid favourites to lift the trophy. It can't be Argentina and win the final, because they're obviously on the same side of the draw. So I'm expecting Argentina and Brazil to meet in the semi final, and I'm expecting France and Portugal to win the other one. Although Morocco have been a great story as well. You know what they've done and knocking out France as they did, and Luis Enrique, the Spanish coach. Has fallen on his sword. He's been sacked overnight. So, you know, it'd be great to see Morocco cause that upset over Portugal. And who knows, what's going on with Ronaldo may destabilise the dressing room a little bit between the round of 16 and this quarter final. But I still think Portugal may just have enough to get through.
Yeah, you mentioned the fallout for Spain with Luis Enrique leaving, but also with Belgium, I see their captain, Eden Hazard. He's also announced his retirement from international football. So a lot of those players now getting over 30, you'd have to say the so-called golden generation there at Belgium they finished third at the last World Cup, but overall they haven't brought home a major trophy.
No, that's right. It's I think we spoke about this on air when I was over there, Middo. You know, it is going to be a lost opportunity, a missed opportunity for Belgium. You know, with what's not happened, I suppose, when you talk about major tournaments. I mean, they reached number one in the world at one point, but they haven't lifted a major trophy. Let's put Hazard firmly on the A-League radar then. If he's retired from international football. And that's the thing, Danny Townsend, I saw him coming out the other day, and you know, now that the World Cup's just about one and done, you know, that there's a number of marquees that we can start to approach. They went
for
Ronaldo.
Does the FFA have to put in there Mossy, or is it up to just the clubs if they've got a backer to pay that type of money?
Yeah, no, it's the clubs now, Loz, because the clubs run the A-Leagues. So it's the club owners, right. and there's a marquee pot that's available to help the clubs. Ultimately, it's the owners putting their money together and the commercial partners. But, yeah, there is a pot there for marquees.
Big weekend for the A-League then. I guess it rides the wave of the momentum of the Socceroos and those players coming back to play for their clubs locally. We see Craig Goodwin tonight for Adelaide United. They're up against Brisbane Roar. I guess the feature of the weekend, particularly for us, is Sydney FC Melbourne City. Tomorrow night at Allianz Stadium, Andrew Redmayne back. City have, of course, got Tilio, McLaren and Leckie. So be great to see these guys back at their clubs now, you know, after putting those great performances in for the Socceroos.
Yeah, well, and there's a real buzz around the A-League. Obviously, we need to see that through the turnstiles post the World Cup. There were some really good crowds, good games leading into the A-League, particularly the Sydney Derby. Adelaide had a good crowd. The Melbourne Derby, obviously, a bit earlier in the season, had a good crowd as well. So really keen to see the public get out there. And you know, the Socceroos, you know, their World Cup is over now. The A-League Socceroos have come back. There's no ticker tape parade or opportunity to, you know, to celebrate the Socceroos as a team. The best way we can do it is by getting to the grounds and watching these guys in action for the A-League. And I'm really looking forward to Cummings and Quoll in the F3 Derby, see how they go post the World Cup. Obviously, Quoll's only got a couple of games to go now before he heads to Newcastle in the UK. But as you said, Tilio didn't get a minute of game time over there at the World Cup, so he'll no doubt have the bit between the teeth in this one against Sydney FC. And obviously, Redmayne didn't get on the pitch. His right hand got us to the World Cup. Didn't get on the pitch over there in Qatar, but he'll come back in good form. But I think crucial game, as you said, Mido, for Sydney FC here, because their form wasn't consistent. It wasn't brilliant leading into the World Cup. They've got Jack Rodwell back, which I think is huge, given Alex Wilkinson will be out until the new year, because they've looked okay going forward, but they've been leaking too many goals, and Stevie Corrick will be thrilled to get that sort of experience at the back in defence.
I'm just fascinated, Mossy, now about soccer in this country, how they can take advantage of everything good that's happened around the Socceroos, because they will get no greater opportunity now with all the hype around the game, and the World Cup has been a success on the park over there in Qatar, and there's a lot of people watching it here in Australia that have got swept up by the excitement. But how do they capitalise on it now?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Loz. And not just the Socceroos at the World Cup. We're now going into a new year where we're going to host a Women's World Cup on home soil. So what we've got in this 12-month period is an opportunity of a lifetime. And I mean that, like once-in-a-generation opportunity. So how we capitalise on it as a game, first thing for me, and I've said this many times, and I'll keep saying it till I'm 6 foot under, but we need to unite and work together. We can't have you know, states working against each other and national organisations working against states and vice versa. We just need to unite and work together for the betterment of the game and put the players first, and coaches have to be at the heart of that as well, because, you know, and then you look at the commercial side, and I still think, and, you know, we don't want to stunt the progress of young players in this country, but I still think marquees are a crucial ingredient to the main dish for the A-League. We need that stardust. We've seen what the World Cup can do, and being over there and seeing the likes of Ronaldo and Messi and Mbappe and, you know, those types of players live in the flesh, it makes a huge difference. I took my 21-year-old son, and, you know, his eyes were wide open the whole time, and he is in that demographic that we really need to capitalise on. So getting those star players to the A-League is crucial.
Okay, have you got a multi for us, Mossy?
Go on, Mido, why not? Let's not often we get the chance to go World Cup quarterfinals into the A-League, so I've done that. And we're going to go Brazil. I'm not going to touch the England-France game, because I honestly can't pick it. I don't think it'll be
I can
one
pick
and
it
done
for you,
minutes.
France, 2-1.
Oh,
there you go. Does that help?
I love it.
2-1 France.
Yeah, on, I think Clark is spot on.
It's coming home. No, it's not, England. It's not coming home. Nothing's coming home apart from the rain.
One thing I will say, though, Mossy, can we get that Jude Bellingham to Liverpool?
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
Good.
Not bad, huh?
Yeah.
Bad. Anyway, listen, but I'm going to get on that one, Clarky.
2-1.
That's good. Yeah. Because I'll never forgive myself if I don't get on it. Is that in 90 minutes?
Yep.
There you go. Yep. Nice.
No extra time required.
I'm going to go a four-legger. Brazil into Argentina, into Portugal, into... And it's not often the Central Coast Mariners will be named in this, but there you go. Brazil, Argentina, Portugal, the Mariners.
Up in the F3. Well, is it the F3 or the M1 derby these days?
F3. It'll always be F3.
Yeah, good. Yeah, it's the F3. Okay, so that four-legger. Central Coast Mariners, Portugal, Argentina, Brazil. $8.72, just exotic locations there. $8.72 is Mossy's four legger.
I want to know what a round ticket on one of the airlines cost to go to those four joints.
Yeah. Well, now you've got to go and have a drink. Is it Troppo? Club Troppo?
Club
on the
Troppo.
Central Coast?
Is it still
there?
Yeah,
that's at the old Crown at Terrigal, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm pretty
sure.
Crown Plaza,
Heyday, you know, heyday, right
there.
No,
I've had a couple of nights there.
What was the other joint in this the Central Coast there, Mossy, in Gosford?
Yeah, across the road from the footy
the club. The club there or
one
footy
of our
stadium.
Listeners will be all over this.
What's that called, Mossy? You'd know. Don't pretend you don't know.
Was called.
What was it called?
It's across the road from the ground in the league's club, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's not the Gosford Bowling Club either.
No. What was it called?
One of our listeners will text it in.
Actually, wasn't that Club Troppo? Or was Club Troppo?
Yeah,
that might have been.
It was Troppo.
Yeah, it was Troppo.
It was.
Yeah.
And the one under...
It was Troppo.
Yeah, you're right. That was Troppo. And the one under...
And the other one was Tropicana's.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Yeah, just trouble. That's what it was. Deep trouble.
Mossy, thanks so much, mate. Enjoy.
Speaking of beers, enjoy lunch today, boys.
Oh, we will, mate.
Well, you're not coming.
Oh, I can't make it, Loz. I'm under the pump at work, mate.
Yeah, he's got to make up for the extra time he took off.
Yeah, and money. not cheap over there at Qatar, let me tell you.
I thought you found the $45.
The Wagyu steak and two pints.
Yeah.
I did, absolutely. But when you extend your trip by 3 days, it felt like about 20.
I've got it. Key Largo was the joint we're thinking of, Clarky.
Key Largo.
Under Crown Plaza.
Key Largo. God.
And yet Club Troppo was in the league's club.
The other
one's Iguana Joe. Didn't that cost a politician a job? Anyway.
Yeah, that's on the
That's
water,
another
though.
Story. We'll stay away from that. Good on you, Mossy. Thanks so much. You've solved all our problems.
Take care.
He's got four runners in the $2 million Ingham tomorrow. John O'Shea joining us. John, good morning.
Good morning, Mido. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, great, mate. And a $2 million race honouring a great racing family that's done so much in medical research in the community, particularly there in southwestern Sydney. I guess it's a day, John, that displays so much that's good about the industry.
It's a really great concept initiated by Racing Survivors and the Ingham family to have a race of this quality, coming up to Christmas at a good time of year. I think it's going to be a fantastic day's racing. And the racing industry responded with a 20-horse field and some Group 1 winners, and it's just a really good race.
And your charges, Dymal, three of its four wins have been on soft, but, I mean, it's by no means much worse off on good tracks, is it?
No. He's coming out of a really good race too, Mido. Five Diamonds is a form race. It's been, a couple of winners have come out, have all gone on and won stakes race the next run. So he maps very well. He's had a good draw. He's not just a wet tracker. He's got good form on both surfaces, and we think he can run very well on Saturday.
What about Kerwin's Lane at 16-1?
Loz, I reckon he's going to map really well, and he's run the other day was superb in the lead up. He's got a good form at the mile at Randwick, and he's really in a good vein of form. Whether he's just got a kilo too much at that level, is probably the Achilles heel for him. But at some stage he'll look the winner.
Can you make a case for your two horses at big odds in Lions Roar and Burdebeck?
probably make case for Lions Roy in the sense that he's a Randwick Mine Group 1 winner. He was embarrassing first up and then and bounced back with a strong performance the other day where he was sectionally very good. And you know, I think he gets a good spot on the map. And it wouldn't surprise me to see him swoop down the outside with a strong performance, you know. So we're very happy with him. The old horse Berdebeck's probably still getting himself up to the mark. He probably this run will bring him on nicely, and then he gets to 10 furlongs in a couple of weeks. And that's where we'd expect to see him, you know, start to show some form.
What about in race 7, Johnny? Wahaha Falls, always well supported. He's got, I think he's won 2 or 3 at the track and distance. So he knows how to win here.
He loves Randwick. He loves Randwick 6. He's a little bit unlucky in the consolation race on Everest Day and then went to Newcastle with, you know, a bunch of weight, which he's only a little fella, and he just struggled to lump it, you know, just didn't quite quicken at the top of the straight with a big weight, whereas tomorrow he gets in with a lovely weight and draw and, you know, his favourite surface. And, yeah, albeit it's a strong race, but, you know, the right scenarios for him to run well tomorrow.
I Am Lethal's been really good the last two starts, and you've also got Bend the Knee. That's in the last, isn't it, tomorrow?
Yeah, I Am Lethal's a much better horse at Randwick than Rose Hill, and so we're really happy with his performances at Rose Hill. And so he gets to Randwick tomorrow. He gets a fast run race from a wide draw, which is a really good scenario for him. So we expect him to be run really well. Bend the Knee's sort of been on the comeback trail for a long break where he was gelded, and I was a bit disappointed in him, to be fair, the other day. But, you know, he's third up tomorrow. He always runs well at 1,400 at Randwick. But he'd want to be putting his hand up a bit tomorrow and showing that he's back in the game because I was a bit playing his first two runs, to be fair.
Have you got anything at Canterbury tonight?
We've got a horse called Mr. G who's had first two runs were really good and then was embarrassing last week. But we popped him over a few jumps, sharpened him up, and he does tend to run well at Canterbury 1,900. So hopefully he can get himself back in the game with a better performance this evening.
Tell us about your star turn filly Solitaire in the English Nursery tomorrow. Just had that one run in a Newcastle maiden, nearly won as well.
Well, she was a really strong performance, and you know, obviously the winner goes good because Mac went all the way up to ride it on a Sunday afternoon, which everyone was in shock. And poor Reesey Jones, who rode our horse, was just about to swoop, and then of course, James does what he does and got in the line. So, you know, he's a really nice filly, progressive filly. Obviously, Gerald's filly looks to be way above average. But if she stubbed a toe at all, Soltec's drawn well. She's improved since her first up run. And you know, she's a really game, tough filly.
What's your best anywhere, John, in your opinion?
Our best anywhere, obviously. Our best chance to win the race is Waihaha. But yeah, you know, we got just nice chances all day. Like I said, I think I Am Lethal can run very well, and we've got some good chances in the big one, and you know, in what's a very open race. But all our horses are fit and well, and they've drawn well, and you know that's the key on them big days, isn't it? You got to map well in those races so you can get a chance to be in the finish.
Hopefully, there's a winner or two in there for you. Appreciate your time throughout the year as well. Always generous, John, and have a good Chrissy, and we'll catch up next year.
Hey, boys, always appreciate talking to you. I'm on sabbatical from next week, so we'll give you all a cheer, and I hope you have a happy and safe Christmas and plenty of winners. And if you're going to do that, you'll probably have to avoid Dave Standing's tips. But I think we wish you all the best, eh?
No, good on you, mate. Johnny. Same to you, buddy.
Thanks, mate.
Cheers, boys.
3 for 3:30 at Stumps Australia. Against the West Indies, who the Aussies won the toss. Steve Smith won the toss, chose to bat. And we got two Centurions there at the moment. Marnus Labuschagne, who's flying, 120 not out. Travis Head also flying, 114 not out. And I'm sure we'll be running up the runs today and making the West Indies chase plenty in the first dig there at Adelaide Oval later tonight. Now, also today, in fact, the second test between England and Pakistan starts. So we'll see if Bazball is in action again later today. Pakistan $2.50, England $2.90, the draw $3. So Pakistan slight favourites for that. I think it's in Multan that test after, of course, England won that famous victory that some over there in the UK are pondering whether it's the greatest win in test history. No, I'm not joking. They were pondering that after their first test win.
Out of control.
The UK. Good luck to them. Plenty of... Iguana Joe's was the venue we were talking about in the Central Coast as well. Also Troppo and what was the other joint? Key Largo. That was it. Loz is just in the middle of his apple, his fruit timetable. He's on the apple.
Mm.
So, yeah, don't worry, mate. You just keep chopping that thing down.
Can you hear this?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, you can.
And while you're doing that, while you're chomping on the apple, how about this? Deliciously flaky pastry on top and bottom, which is rolled extra thin, a filling of 100% lean Aussie beef. Yes, I'm talking about Garlo's pies, the only pies you should be putting on your plate. Now, Garlo's pies are simply bursting with flavours, and there's heaps of flavours to choose from. And here's a thought taken on off from cooking. Grab a Garlo's family pie for the whole crew. They're available in all Coles and Woolworths stores. And remember, we are located in the chilled meals section. If you can't find us, just ask for Garlo's pies by name. Garlo's pies, they're thin on pastry. They're big on meat. Give us a call, 1353 53. Nick Kyrgios, would you believe in the news again? What a shock. Nick has had a bit of a swipe at us all, really. He's about to play an exhibition tournament in Saudi Arabia where he'll pick up a six-figure just appearance fee and then prize money, decent prize money on top of that. Now, it's just made his Davis Cup absence more notable. Remember, he said he just didn't want to play Davis Cup because he's a bit homesick, wanted to get home to the family, etc. Well, now he's gone and played this. Hence, I guess, drawing some frustration from Alex De Minaur and particularly Leighton Hewitt after we lost the Davis Cup final to Canada. But he's responded saying, well, maybe if Australia embraced me a little bit more, I would play it and bring home the trophy. And goes on to say, it's interesting they really want me to play, but are always criticising. He indicated he'd consider playing Davis Cup if it was played in Australia. He just doesn't want to really spend another week over there in Europe. But Nick just lighting the fire ahead of the home summer, where it'll be interesting to see after, of course, we thought he had that great opportunity with Novak Djokovic not playing at the US Open and just didn't work out for him over there. But his performances now will certainly be followed closely over the Aussie summer. But had a bit of a clip at us all there, Nick. Nick forgets that maybe his behaviour on the court at times probably gets people offside.
Yeah, possibly. But that's who he is. He speaks his mind, and we all want people to do that at times.
No, we don't. No, we don't. We actually don't, though. We have this conversation all the time. We don't want people to speak their mind.
No, at times I'm okay with people saying how
they feel. We
want people
to swim between the flags, and, you know, that's the problem. It's like, yeah, tell the truth. Well, you actually don't want the truth, because the truth's going to offend some people.
Yeah, but what I'm saying with Kyrgios, he's just got to accept that with him being the way he is,
he'll always polarise.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But, and if he wants to conduct himself like that, that's how he's going to live his life. I mean, he's a guy
dislike
with plenty
him
of
because of some of the things he says. Yet
that's exactly
that's
right.
That's what I'm saying. We don't want him to speak his mind because, well, the people that don't like him don't want him to speak his mind. They want him to shush and win games of tennis.
Yeah, but a lot of things he said, or has said in the past, I think everyone disagrees with. The only person that agrees with it is Nick.
We were talking earlier, fellas, with the Christmas party, our Christmas party today, and people, you know, getting on trains after their Christmas parties or whatever else and ending up where they shouldn't. Jerry from Blacktown sent this one in. After a big day at the cricket, easy to do, I got on the country train to Blacktown. Woke up by the guard at Lithgow, where it terminated at 11 p.m. Got a room at the pub, caught the next train home at 5 a.m. in the morning, and I was known as Larry Lithgow for a while, says Jerry from Blacktown.
Just missed the stop.
Yeah, just must have slept well. That's
I tell you
for
what,
sure.
That would have happened to a lot of people.
Oh, mate. Definitely.
Yeah,
a lot of people would have jump on a train after a night out, regardless of where it is or what function you were going to, and fallen asleep.
Tell me someone that hasn't been woken up in a taxi after a night out.
Yeah.
The taxi says, hey, we're here, get out, mate. Whoa, sorry, mate, how much is that?
I've been guilty of that before.
Yeah, and we'll be tonight as well, I'd imagine.
Yeah, this is one to keep an eye on over the weekend as well. Morning, lads. Aussie girls boxing tomorrow in England. Bridges v. O'Connell should be a ripper, and they've been sledging each other big time. That's Ebony Bridges and O'Connell. So I think that's on, is it DAZN? D-A-Z-N? You can watch that.
But, DAZN? What's DAZN? I've never heard of DAZN.
It's a streaming service for
boxing.
Another one,
Loz, that's out there.
I probably pronounced it incorrectly, but it's D-A-Z-N.
Had you heard of that, Pop?
Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't got it, though, but I've heard of it.
They have a lot of big boxing on it.
Yeah.
Mm. Right. Geez, I'm out of the loop, boys. Yeah. I'm definitely out of the
loop.
You're
actually not. You're not out of the loop. There's so many of them, man.
Jeez.
Yeah. You don't need it, put it that way.
We got Joe.
I've got too many of them.
Yeah, I know.
Joe, morning to you.
Good morning, Midday. Good morning, Loz, and good morning, little puppy Bingle.
Puppy Bingle. Jeez, I haven't been called Bingle for a long time.
Puppy Bingle. Well,
I've had a few Bingles. Don't worry about that.
There's a scoop, boys. There's a scoop. Queanbeyan's most eligible bachelor turns 50 tomorrow. Matty the People's Publican Griffin.
Oh my God.
And he's still on the market. And 50. I was just thinking, it's only fitting leading up to Christmas, and it's his 50th tomorrow. There might be some single women out there that want to put their hand forward and take the
Where's the party? Where is the party?
It's a bit like you, Puppy Bingo. We don't want the paparazzi chasing us.
Oh, so you got to keep it quiet. Yeah, I got it. Good call. Cagey play.
We are having a shindig for him. There's no denying that. And
now, how does his father feel about him turning 50 and still be single?
Well, he doesn't like it when he's in my company, Loz. We both know that. But he's brought a lot of women home to meet the Griffin clan, but there's been no Queen Anne, let me tell you.
There's nothing wrong with practice. He's just training at the moment. He's in preparation mode. There's nothing wrong with that.
He's got a bigger turnover rate than you, Puppy Bingle.
I'm sure he does. I wish him well.
Puppy Bingle, well, this is great.
He's been putting the knife into me for three decades, Big Matty. I thought this is one little cheeky chance of getting back in. So I know he'd be listening. He'd be there at his top pub. He's a big empire there on top of the hill. And give him a plug. If there's any free women out there or single women, chuck down Big Matty. People's publican.
I want to know what the free woman looks like. What is that?
Well, they're not engaged. They're not with a partner.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
They're available, single and ready to mingle.
They're all costly.
Now, Joey, before you go, have you got anything in your stable?
Raider 88.
Oh, I love Raider 88.
He's back in work. Yeah. He's back in work, Raider 88. He's got a big nose, sore hamstring, bum knee. In all honesty, boys, King Gutho's flying. King Gutho will go around in the Narooma Cup next Sunday, and I'm taking to the Gold Coast for the Country Cup on Magic Millions Day. So he's the hope of the side over Christmas. And if Nugget gets a run in the Villiers or the Wingham, whatever it's called, he'll be winning.
What's this? Jay Cleary, the Eddie Murphy of Queanbeyan, says the Coomereal. Coomereal sending that one through.
Good on you, Joey. Have a good day tomorrow. Don't get into any trouble.
Get into lots, Joey. Get into lots, buddy.
As you know, Loz, we do our best work in the dark. See you, boys. Good
on you, Joe. What a classic. So what do you say, Raider? Joe Cleary?
Yeah.
Raider 88 back in work.
Yes.
Is that it?
That was it. Very slow horse.
Little sore, but back in work.
Bad hamstring, bad knees, big nose. What could go wrong?
So we don't know the venue of the
pub. Well, if it's the People's Pub, it'd be his pub. It'd be the pub.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Paparazzi stay clear,
but free women are allowed.
Single
to
women
go.
In Queanbeyan. Get up free. To the top pub.
Not single, free.
No, free. Oh, I haven't met a free one.
No, they're all very expensive, let me tell you.
Oh, dear.
All right,
I love the new nickname, though, Pup.
Oh, yeah, Puppy Bingle. Oh, my God.
Before we go to the break and get DS involved, give us your multi for one last time this morning, Loz.
Sydney tomorrow, race 3, number 14, operative to run top 2, and then race number 4. Again, this is in Sydney at Randwick, race for number six, Gin Martini, to place in if you want to be a part of that Sticky Wings BSB multi. That's paying $8.
Tab app, tab website, click on sports and then today's offers. The sun is shining, the waves are crashing and the hooves are thundering in the southeast. It feels like summer is here and with it, the Queensland Summer Racing Carnival. Strap in for 9 magical weeks of feature racing with more than $22 million in prize money on offer in the Sunshine State. The $250,000 gateway at Eagle Farm will see the winner book their spot in the 2023 Group 1 Stradbroke Handicap, while the listed Calway Gal and Feeling Ready Stakes will unveil a number of Magic Millions two-year-old classic hopefuls. It feels like summer again and Queensland is racing. For all the details, visit queenslandsummercarnival.com.au. Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858. And just on that fight as well, Ben Damon of Made Event has let me know, and how dare I be, you know, plugging another streaming service, yeah, considering the Bridges v. O'Connell fight is live and exclusive on Fox Sports 507 and also KO Freebies from 8 a.m. Sunday morning. So just tune in straight after the France-England quarterfinal in the World Cup.
How dare you?
And as Ben says, and he's spot on, well, he'd know, it's the biggest all-Aussie female fight in history. So this is not to be missed. Sunday morning, Fox Sports 507 and also KO Freebies, 8 a.m. The Bridges v. O'Connell.
And Benny's a great mate of ours.
Yep.
And great mate of the program, and you're plugging.
I've sold him out.
Something else. Sorry. You have sold him out.
Do you want me to apologise?
On air now, yes. Go.
I can't apologise to him. No way. Can't do it.
Why not?
Nah.
You're just not going to apologise to your mate?
Nah. Not him.
Well, Benny, he's not solid, my friend.
Nah. He's not getting
that's not. That's not the right go either, Mido.
You can deal with it. Dave Stanley, morning to you.
Morning, Mido. Morning, Loz. Morning, Pup. How are we all?
Hey, buddy.
Going good, mate. Chrissy party.
Yeah, Christmas party. It's going to be an absolute beauty.
What time are you getting there?
Probably not far after lunch.
Right.
Just swanning in. I'll swan around. So that'd be good. Be a real good afternoon, boys. It's always a good time of the year, isn't it, when I said because you'll go out. You guys won't be the only ones probably having that Christmas party in that vicinity. So there's just good vibes, isn't it?
Mate, good vibes. I was in the city last Friday when I drove back from Mudgee.
Yep.
And it was all happening.
Yeah.
There was a big long lunch, actually, yeah, in George Street. There was about 2,000 people.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what they call it, but I think they just call it the long lunch.
Have you ever tried to crash a Christmas party?
Probably.
I mean, I'm not intentionally one this afternoon, really.
Not intentionally, but you sort of mingle in if you've got another Christmas party at the same venue.
Yeah, that's the thing. Sort of, you know, if you spot, well, it'd be interesting to see how it unfolds.
You try and get a drink on their tab.
Yeah, try and just sort of lurk around, you know.
Oh, my God.
See what's going on.
Such a tight ass.
Well, of course you do. You sort of wander up and just sort of see what's going on.
But when you've got to get a card off someone, that's the thing.
Oh, no, you don't do that. It's embarrassing if you've got to ask for the card.
Have you got that card? Have you got that white card? What number are we? Or you go up there. No,
you need a wristband.
You need the wristband.
But yeah, just show the wristband.
Boy, it'll be a good afternoon, and it's always good to reflect on a big year and what you boys are up to. And there's been some highlights I look forward to.
What do you mean reflect on
that? I don't know. I'm just trying to.
What do you reckon we're going to get there and talk about work?
No, you won't.
Oh, geez. What about you at the start of the year, those opening 3 months, you know?
Jeez, you know.
Jeez, you were good in those opening 3 months.
100%. Gee, those opening
Pup, sessions. You came good around September. Pup, you know, when good. The cricket season started.
Yeah. How about Ben Damon, by the way? We'll probably see you for a free beer later.
Yes,
after
that's right.
We just gave him that plug. You're all kidding me, aren't you?
Everyone gets a roll up.
Make sure if there's wristbands, he doesn't get one.
Who are you most looking forward to? Out of all the panelists are going. You'll have a who's who.
Well, you know how they're very quiet, the two Tommies, Dave.
Yeah.
If you had a bet on which one's just going to open right up this afternoon after half a dozen, which Tommy would it be?
I don't know. That's a very good, very,
there'll be
very
nobody
good
opening up more than Jono, let me tell you.
Yeah, well, Jono
will
he's
go
got that
wild.
Belly full of bolognese.
If he's off the leash, hold on.
If Jono goes missing, you'll know he's in the kitchen there at Mary Vale, just
missing,
knocking off a few feeds.
We just don't want Jono to go back to the old Triple M days, that's all.
Yes, we do. That's what I'm talking about.
The old Triple M days. You know, ask him about it too.
Probably not just yet.
Now, we've got the punters panel coming up. Luke Marlowe, Glenn Munsey, Simon Thanopoulos and Chris Roots. We've also got Shane O'Cass, Brett Devine on this Friday. What are you doing just to warm yourselves up, boys, before the Christmas party?
Easy, Tiger. Mind your own business. Mind your own.
No, I'm just wondering. Like, do you go to the gym for the next 4 hours? Do you go to the gym, or like, do you go and have an early schooner before you? I don't know. Like, what do you do, Pop? I don't know what you're doing. You're going to bed.
Phone a friend. I'm going to bed for an hour.
You're going to bed for an hour.
I'm going to the gym. I'm straight to the gym.
Jeez, going to bed for an hour.
Straight to the gym.
All right. How good? If you're a bit flush later, oh, we've already had that. Where's Kyle? Where's Kyle? Have a good day. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Have a good day, boys. Have a great day and have a great hour, pup.
Have a great hour.
Have a fill
see up. You soon, boys. Are we ready? Are we ready?
Oh, dear, oh, dear.